Well, many of us are captivated by the idea of New Year's resolutions, aren't you? And if you were here on Christmas Eve, you would have heard me say that I'm a particular fan. I get a kind of great joy out of the end of a year and the start of the new year and the thought of all the different things that I might be able to do and the changes I might be able to make. And I have varying levels of degree of success each and every year with achieving those things. Whatever your feeling about them is, you can't help but come to the end of a year and start to sort of reflect and ponder on what has been and what might be coming next. And there'll be people here who are drawing to the end of 2024 with great expectations. They'll be thinking, how good was that? I can't wait for another year to continue to achieve and pursue the things that I feel God has called me to. But there'll be many of us who either sit here with mixed expectations. Some things have gone well, but we're disappointed by how other things have gone. But for some of us as well, we'll be sitting here actually kind of ruining the year that has just gone by, reflecting on missed opportunities and disappointments and failures either inflicted upon us or that we inflicted on ourselves. And there may be the odd one or two of you who just aren't reflecting at all because you couldn't give two hoots about New Year's Eve. And I still hope that you'll find something good about what we're going to talk about today. I want us to explore today, as we use those words we had read to us from Lamentations chapter 3, to reflect on the year that was and look forward to the year ahead and to help us, regardless of what mood we're in, to make good and godly resolutions for our life going forward. And I hope that as we do that, it's a moment for us, as we consider the coming new year, to not make 2025 all about self-improvement, but rather to make it about seeking God for spiritual health. And I also want us to remember as we think about this that, of course, as we've already heard with the kids, that with God we get new grace, new mercy each and every morning. We can restart, in fact we get a restart, a fresh start with God each and every day. So don't worry if things fall over by the middle of January. God's mercies are new every morning. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says to his disciples these words. He says, John 16:33, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. They're great words, aren't they? Encouraging words that in the end Jesus wins. But they're also words to take notice of what he says before that. We can so easily, take heart, I have overcome the world. Yay, Jesus. But he says before that, in this world you will have trouble. And that's true, isn't it? That the reality of living life in this world is troublesome. It's hard, not just trying to live as a Christian in a world that's set against the Lord Jesus, but even if you're not a Christian, life is tough. And the reality is that sometimes that can feel overwhelming. The reality of our struggle and how it feels when things aren't going our way, when we're experiencing the trouble that Jesus promised us we would have, I think is powerfully given voice here in this opening section of our reading today from Lamentations. Take a look at verses 17 through 20 of chapter 3. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them and my soul is downcast within me. It's a particular reflection from the prophet Jeremiah on the struggles of Israel. But I think actually these verses resonate with anyone who felt the challenges of the year just gone. Perhaps you've struggled with your health, your finances, your relationships, your personal goals. Perhaps as you sit here this morning, you're trying to muster up some hopeful energy for what might come, but you can't quite overcome the dashed hope, the failed resolutions, the unexpected tragedies, the rising pressures, the financial struggles, the relationship breakdowns. In this life, you will have trouble. It's tough out there. And often, in the depth of our despair, and as we reflect on the things that are difficult and hard, that's when we get to making a resolution, isn't it? We think, oh, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of my failures. I'm sick of how this is going. I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to manage my stress better. I'm going to save some money. We make resolutions to try and solve the troubles, the hard things, the difficulties. We want to will our way to overcome our pain by trying harder. But what we're reminded of here in Lamentations is actually the importance in the moments of hardship and difficulty of not striving more to overcome in our own strength, but actually stopping and sitting with the Lord and crying out to Him. Coming to God and stating where we're at. I've been deprived of peace. My splendor is gone. Everything I hope from the Lord is gone. I'm afflicted, bitter. See, the road out of our troubles is not more effort on our own behalf to overcome them. Actually, the first step is to sit in them. In this life, you will have trouble, says Jesus. We need to stop first and acknowledge our pain, our failures, and cry them out to God, confessing our failures to Him, begging Him for mercy, trusting that the second part of what Jesus said in John 16 is true, that He has overcome the world. And as we do that as step one, as we sit in our tragedies and mistakes, our pain and our suffering, our sin and our rebellion, and as we bring them to the Lord, He recalibrates us. We don't find hope in a renewed push for personal improvement, but rather we find hope in the Lord, even in the midst of ongoing difficulties. We see it in our reading in Lamentations 3, don't we? He goes on from verse 21, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will wait for Him." Remarkable words. Nothing's changed in the life of the writer here. He's not suddenly enjoying prosperity. He's not suddenly living his best life now, but he's able to move from despair and confession to hope, not because he's decided he's going to choose to try harder, but because he's come to God and he's met with God and he's understood who God is. It is because of who God is that we can have hope. And it's because of who God is that we can move forward. It's because of who God is that our present reality is not the end of the story. It's because of who God is that he will bring transformation to our hearts, minds, and lives. The great promise of God is that his love, grace, mercy, compassion, and faithfulness are freely given to us all each and every day. Isn't that wonderful news? That you get a fresh start with God, not just on the 31st of December at 11:59 p.m., but each and every morning. And Paul talks about this idea a little bit in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Though life is tough, God is at work." 2 Corinthians, he continues in chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." The great hope we have as Christians is that we are transformed by Jesus and that we share in part now in what is to come in eternity, the new heavens, the new earth, God's perfect world. And God is at work in each of us when we come to him, transforming us, renewing us, and changing us to be more like Jesus. And he's actually using the hard things to help us to grow. We may be wasting away, but we are being renewed. The old is gone, the new is here. God's mercy is new every morning. His unending grace, his mercy shown to us in Jesus Christ, they enable us to move forward even when things are tough. Now, it's one thing to just say that, isn't it? But I want to also try and give you some practical ideas as well of ways that perhaps you can try and find yourself reminded each and every day as we move forward into a new year of the hope we have because of who God is. And one of the things I think that would be a great resolution would be trying to practice daily gratitude. Even if things are hard, because of who God is, there's always something to be thankful for, isn't there? That's what we see in Lamentations. Perhaps this year we can resolve that no matter what is happening, no matter how hard things are getting, we can begin with gratitude. Even if it's for nothing else than God's mercy, love, and grace. And of course, even if, that's fantastic, isn't it? Paul says in Ephesians 5:20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to be a thankful people. So let me ask you, when was the last time you thanked God for who he is, for what he's done, and for all the good he has given you? Hopefully you say it was this morning when I woke up, Chris. But if not, maybe it can be tomorrow. Maybe it'll be later. I'll even let you off the hook right now and you can stop listening for a few moments and give thanks right now. So we can practice daily gratitude, and also I think we can commit to reminding ourselves of the source of our hope. As I've said, we often want to make big sweeping changes at this time of year, but perhaps actually it's better to commit to something small, a small act rather than a world-changing one. And if you want to start each day by giving thanks to God for who he is and for what he's done, perhaps you can add another prayer to that. There's a whole book called Atomic Habits about how you add little habits onto little habits to make lasting change. And I think that's a secular book, but I think he's onto something there. Perhaps this year all you need to do is make a commitment to be more regular in prayer when you're brushing your teeth, or to prioritise coming to church to be encouraged by God's people instead of all the other options that get put before you on a Sunday morning. Something small that can remind you of where your hope comes from. And I think that will be transformative. Perhaps you can even commit some scriptures to memory to remind yourself of the hope that we have. And I was sort of thinking of, well, what would be some good ones? I've got three for you that you can come back and watch this sermon later or write down now. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Isn't that a verse of great hope and comfort when life gets tough? Psalm 34:18. Or what about Romans 5, verses 3 to 5? Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What a wonderful verse that is to call to mind as things get tough from Romans 5 verses 3 to 5. And of course, there's these great words in the middle of our reading today from Lamentations 3 verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Well, the last sort of section that we've got in our reading today is a call for self-examination, which is another great thing for us to commit to in an ongoing way as we live our lives in the coming year. Lamentations 3, starting at verses 25 and 26 and then skipping to the end at verse 40. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. I want to suggest to us that actually what we need to be doing is practicing this great and Christian practice of self-examination constantly as we seek to live our lives in the Lord going forward. We need to reflect on our lives before God, and we need to practice regular repentance and forgiveness. We wake up, we thank God for his mercies, and we turn to him, seeking forgiveness and looking for help. And, you know, we pray prayers of confession on Sundays. If you want copies of some of those prayers that we pray so that they can shape the way that you pray to God and seek his forgiveness and remind yourself of his grace, that's a great thing that you could do. Making a commitment to seek God, it's also another wonderful way to practice the ongoing remembrance of God and who he is and all he's done for us. And if you head to our website, you'll see there's a bunch of resources, lindisfarne.church/bible-reading, which give you some ideas for ways that you can prioritise and plan to read God's word, which is going to be another way that allows God to help you to do that work of self-examination and reflection and of practicing the act of repentance and reminding yourself of God's promise to forgiveness. Well, as we look forward to the year to come, I want to encourage us not to be aiming for self-improvement, but for spiritual renewal. And I hope that what we see here in Lamentations is that even if things are tough, and even if they're not looking like they're going to get any better, that even in the depths of despair, we can have hope. Not through our own strength, not through the promise of trying a little bit harder, but through remembering the unfailing mercy and love of God. And let's remember and commit to remembering that the grace of God is available to us each and every day through the Lord Jesus. Nothing wrong with making some goals, but let me encourage you to make sure that one of them is to grow and to spend time with your Lord Jesus Christ, who reminds us that in this life we will have troubles, but take heart, for he has overcome the world. In this year to come, let's be honest with God about how we're going. And as we do that, remember that no matter what, we will find his unfailing grace and mercy as we acknowledge our struggles and our failures, and as we put our hope in him. And if we commit to that for today, for tomorrow, and for the next year until the Lord may return, then we will be transformed, because God will be working powerfully through us, as he's promised by his Spirit through his word. Transformation will come as we align ourselves with God our Maker and seek to be closer to him through repentance and trust. As we step into a new year, may our hope be in the Lord Jesus as we embrace our present reality and look forward with hope through the Lord Jesus. Amen.